Lord in China. In fact, I came to the Lord, I had my first experience of God in Sumton, right on the border with Hong Kong, sitting under the nose of a communist, Songfengqiang, you know, a submachine gun. It was there that God gave me his first revelation, my first encounter with God. Because of that, for the first time, I totally, 100% committed myself unconditionally to follow the truth, to obey the truth, whatever it costs. That's the reason I'm preaching the gospel today. It is out of obedience to God's revelation and to the commitment I made on that day. I share again with you with shame, that more than once the world so attracted me in the intervening years that I have been inclined to turn away from that original commitment. Friends of mine have said to me, "Oh, a man of your ability and your intelligence or whatever it is, you should be here working in the world. You would be up in high places. You would be making loads of money. You would be successful in any profession you like. Why are you following the Lord being some poor preacher out there? I drive this magnificent car that I drive. You know how much my car cost? $100. I share this with people, they don't believe me. How can you buy a car for $100? That is the absolute truth. And I have witnesses to prove it. I bought this car for $100 that I'm driving in Canada. I'm not driving a Jaguar. I'm not driving a Rolls Royce. I'm not driving a Porsche. Not even a humble BMW. Not even a humble Mercedes. I drive my $100 car, made in 1976, which might belong in a museum by now. But it runs wonderfully in the grace of God. You know, even my car runs on grace. Wonderful. Wonderful job. Wonderful car. Somebody wanted to get rid of it and wanted to get rid of it for $100 real fast. I said, okay, that's fine. $100 is fine with me. And people say to me, you end up being a poor preacher driving this kind of junk. You know, if you were in the world, I mean, if you wanted to be a lawyer, you would be a top lawyer. You want to be a scientist, you'd be a top scientist. And what do? You become a preacher, man. Oh, I admit to my shame that more than once I have considered, come on, Lord, maybe give me a chance to drive a Jaguar for 2 or 3 years. Just my holiday break, After 2 or 3 years, I come back again. Is that right? No, will not do. So I carry on in the way that the Lord has called me. So we press on in the power of that revelation. And there in Sumton, when I made my first commitment to the Lord to follow him unconditionally, he revealed himself to me. Again, in an experience I don't know how to describe. I think in my testimony in Oasis, I have shared a little bit about it. But I really don't know how to describe this experience. These things are beyond description. And on that occasion, when I met with the Lord, I was filled with an unspeakable joy. I began to understand what that heavenly country must be like. People are filled with a joy that is unspeakable, indescribable. I was so happy, and I didn't know why. I thought I must be crazy. Only crazy people get that happy, I suppose. And if that's the case, I would like to be crazy. I don't know how to become crazy. So I think you can truly have... I was just filled with joy. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. That is the glory of being a Christian. And another occasion, in Kent, in southern England, the Holy Spirit came down upon us in a meeting. In fact, again, an Easter meeting, amazingly enough. I think God must specialize in particularly in working at Easter. So maybe you have great possibilities today. The Holy Spirit came down with immense power upon us. what we have to describe as Pentecostal power. And there were some 50, 60 people in the room. And when the Spirit of God came down, heaven came down with the Holy Spirit. And every person in the room, not one person, failed to experience the revelation of God on that day. Those who had committed sins broke down, wept with tears. I was singing a song with a guy standing next to me, and he was wetting my whole hymn book with his tears. No, at that time, I didn't mind. Because before there came the joy, there was the repentance to clear away every sin. The Spirit of God came down and we experienced heaven, all 50 or 60 people of us there. The meeting went on for three hours. We were not interested in lunch. We were not interested in food. We just had the presence of God and nobody wanted to go. Revelation. And you can have it. This is not a sales pitch. This is the truth of the matter. This is the truth of the matter. But only on one vital condition. That like Abraham, you are 100% committed to the truth. You will go wherever God wants you to go. You will do whatever He wants you to do. You will follow Him unconditionally. You will take up His cross, your cross, and follow Him wherever He leads. If you are prepared to do that. If, and that's a big if, and there are not too many Christians. They will say, okay, 80% is fine. 70% is even better. Bargain with God. You see, in Hong Kong, we're very good at the market. Huh? How much is this? You bargain back, forth, and finally you settle on the price. And so we want to bargain with God. Don't bring your Hong Kong mentality to God. You don't bargain with Him because He has no time for this. 100%, nothing. And then I want to conclude with this statement because our time is gone. And this statement is very, very important to notice carefully. And this has to be a supplement to Brother Chris's immigration conditions. And this one is tough. This one is tough. And it is this. Nobody will have a share. Nobody will qualify in the immigration into that new country who is not now involved in the establishing of God's kingdom on earth. Did you grab my point? That is the Lord's teaching. Nobody here, not you, not me, will be able to qualify to enter the kingdom of God unless you here and now, today, tomorrow, the coming days, will be involved in building God's kingdom on earth. Now, this point is closely tied to the previous point on Revelation. I can tell you this. It is in the process of building God's kingdom on earth now, establishing his church now, which is one aspect of His kingdom, that you will experience God's revelation to you. I said you will follow Him 100%. What does that mean? Are we talking hot air here? We are just talking theory? No. To follow Him 100% means to do what He did. Now, the Lord Jesus said to the Jews in John chapter 8, they claim to be Abraham's descendants. He said, if you were truly Abraham's descendants, you would do what Abraham did. Well, what did Abraham do? Verse 13. Look again at verse 13 in Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but what? But having received the revelation. What revelation? Having seen, that's revelation, having seen from afar. They already saw. And because of that revelation, what did they have? They had the assurance. They had powerful. You have assurance because of revelation. I have assurance of salvation. I never doubt my salvation. Why? Because of God's revelation. That revelation gives me full assurance. Do you doubt whether you are saved or not? You doubt it if you don't have God's revelation. And that revelation comes through His Holy Spirit, as we read in Romans 8. The Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit. God's Spirit witnesses. What is witness? His revelation. He reveals to us what? Witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. He is witnessing to my spirit. He is revealing to my spirit that I am a child of God. Therefore, I have no reason. I cannot even doubt. I can't doubt. Because He has revealed this wonderful reality to me. That is the true foundation of all assurance. Any assurance built on something else is to build on sinking sand. But all assurance built on Romans 8 and the revelation is solid rock. Nothing can shake you. Nothing. Like our brothers and sisters in China. Locked them away in prison, put them there 21 years. Just 2 months ago, I was talking to a brother from Shanghai. 21 years in prison. His faith is strong and glorious. He is one of the important leaders of the underground churches in China. Radiant faith. No pressure could break him. Why? Revelation. As Paul says, I know whom I have believed. How do you know? Because of revelation. There is no other way. God has revealed Himself. As Paul says, the Lord was pleased to reveal His Son to me. You see, it's revelation. Everywhere is revelation. The whole New Testament is revelation. True Christian life is revelation. If you want to know with certainty whether you are a true Christian, if you want to know with certainty whether God is real, if you want to know with certainty that there is this better country, you need God's revelation. Like Paul, you need to have God revealing His Son to you. Then you have complete assurance. But this is connected to the other point. The more you serve the Lord, following Him 100%, the more God will reveal Himself to you. That is the other point. As I said, revelation is an ongoing process. It is not once and for all, finished. I had this wonderful experience of God and it's over. Oh no. God has continued to reveal Himself to me and will continue to reveal Himself to me yet more wonderful things in the future. I have prayed for the sick and they have been healed, and I'm not a faith healer. Is that a revelation? Of course. God reveals Himself again in the power. I have prayed for people with cancer and they have been healed. The tumor just vanished, disappeared. Previously, we were x-rayed. There is this tumor there in the womb. After the prayer, they went with x-ray again. There's no tumor. I mean, this is not some psychological healing. You know, tumors do not disappear because of psychology. The thing just vanished. The doctors were going to operate and just before, where is the tumor we're going to operate on? It's gone. A person went down with a stroke. Person was raised. This lady was in Canada just 2 or 3 years ago in our summer camp, and she shared with the other aunties in the camp how I had prayed for her in the hospital and she was restored instantly. The doctors had already made the test, extracting spinal fluid or whatever they do to establish a stroke, and they confirmed that she had a stroke. Healed on the spot. As you go on serving the Lord, whether it is through these kinds of acts of power, which I don't like to publicize, by the way. I don't want to talk much about these kinds of things. I don't want people to come to the Lord for the sake of physical benefits. That's for the wrong reason. I see people's lives transformed, changed. That is another truly amazing revelation of God. People that you thought is impossible for them to become different, and they have become changed. New people, a new man in Christ. Those are revelations. So as you go on confessing the Lord, serving the Lord, you will continue to see the glory of the Lord. But if you do not serve the Lord, you will see nothing. You will see nothing. Do you see the Lord? Do you experience the Lord? Not if you are not serving the Lord. And when I talk about serving the Lord, I have put the word on confession. I'm not talking about, you know, doing all kinds of external activities, running here and there and doing this and that, busy all over the place. I don't mean to say that there is no such use of that kind of service in the church. But the word here is confession. That means to say, both by your life and by your words, you proclaim God's reality in your life. Now, I draw your attention again to these all died in faith. They were all looking for the city. They had not yet received the promise. They died in faith. But what is the point I'm getting at? If you look at the context, you will see that it was Abraham who was looking for the city. Now, all of a sudden, you find that the one person, Abraham, has become they. They were all looking for the city of promise. Hey, how come now they also believe? The reason is what? Abraham's confession now resulted in the faith of the so-called they. The they is who? Well, the they was Abraham's children, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. The whole family, everybody now believed. Why? Because of Abraham's confession. And then God, through Abraham's confession, was able to reveal this heavenly city also to them, so that they also, not just Abraham alone, but they also saw and embraced with assurance this glorious hope. So two things, and here I must stop. Again, I emphasize, first, revelation. And I have shown you how to get that revelation. God is more eager to give you that revelation than you are willing to receive it, by the way. Don't think you have to squeeze God and say, come on, give me some revelation. This preacher been yakking about revelation all morning, and now give me some. And I got to twist God's arm here. Let me tell you, he is more anxious to give you the revelation than you are to receive it. Why are you not willing to receive it? You are scared. Let me tell you the truth. You are scared. Come on. The Americans say you are yellow. That doesn't mean anything to do with skin color, you know, like me. It has to do with being cowardly. The problem is that most people are cowards. And the fact is that you don't dare to face God's revelation. You don't dare. Because you know that God is true. Do you? No. I dare you to try what I say. Try it. And God will reveal himself to you and will scare the wits out of you. Revelation is total commitment. And suddenly the Lord say, oh, I see you have a nice car there and you have a nice house. And I put that all away and follow me. Why did I ask for revelation? Oh, boy. That's why I say we are cowards. It is not that God is not real. It is that we don't dare to face the reality of God. We don't dare to face that reality. I've talked to people time and again. They finally tell me, honestly, I can't become a Christian. Why? I can't face the cost. I say, okay, at least you're honest. But don't you ever say that God is not real. The truth of the matter is you don't have what the Americans say, rather, in not very elegant way, you don't have the guts. You don't have the guts. You don't have the courage to be a Christian. That's the truth of the matter. You don't dare to face his revelation. And then you say it's not real. Don't dare. I dare you to follow it. I've tried this before and I tell you, they all back down. They're scared. They say, prove God to me. I say, sure, I'll prove God to you. And then when I prove it to them, they're scared. Say, oh, no, I give up. Okay, I can't face this. So my challenge is this. God's revelation is for every one of you. Do you have the courage to face his revelation? Do you have the courage to see what are the consequences of following that revelation? And then do you dare to confess it? Do you dare to take part in the building of his kingdom? In Matthew 12, verse 30, the Lord Jesus says, he that does not gather with me scatters. There are only two kind of people, and you are one of these two. You either gather, that is, you help to build his kingdom, and therefore you will have a part in that kingdom, or you scatter. You have no part in that kingdom. God has, by his grace, given each one of us the revelation. These are described as talents. He gives more revelation to one, maybe less revelation to another, according to what you are able to receive. We are saved by grace, but what you do with that grace is going to determine whether you have a place in that kingdom or not. That's why in Matthew 25, in the parable of the talents, it says what? In verse 26, if I remember correctly, it says this. It says to that lazy servant, cast him out into the place, another place, not this better country, the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This lazy servant, throw him out because he didn't do anything. If you don't labor for the kingdom, you will have no place in the kingdom. Salvation is by grace. But whether you are worthy of that grace depends on what you do with that grace. God gives you 10 talents, 5, 1, according to what you are able to receive of his revelation. What you do with that revelation will determine whether you are in that better country and whether you will enjoy it and to what extent you will enjoy it. Let us pray.